The reason I want you to look at this is I want you to understand that John was not talking just about things to come. Well, the whole chapter 12 talks about this bride and Satan standing in front of the bride wanting to kill the child that's coming out. This is Jesus we're talking about. All right? He's seeing that. Verse 10, and I heard, this is after all of this. I heard a loud voice saying in heaven, now is come salvation. Now is salvation. Now. Not something in the future. John wasn't seeing something in the future. It's already done. It's salvation and strength and the kingdom of God and the power of His Christ. Remember I told you anytime this says His Christ, who is He talking about? All right. What does the word Christ mean? Anointed. The power of God's anointed. That's not just Jesus. That's us. He sees the power. For the accuser of our brethren is cast down, which accused them before our God day and night. Now I want you to understand something, that God, that Satan does not stand in front of God. Anytime you see that, what he's talking about is that Satan is accusing us in front of brothers and sisters. And a lot of times we're being gullible and listening. And God is seeing that. So don't be gullible and don't listen. God still sees it. Now, here's the thing, and here's what else he saw. And they overcame by the blood of the Lamb and by the word of their testimony, and they loved their lives not to death. I'm not going to go into this real strong. But this is a promise. This one, verse 10. I think that's where it started. Let me look at 9. Yeah. Verse 10. And I heard a loud voice saying in heaven, now is your salvation. Now you're safe. Now you're healed. Now you're provided for. Would you like for me to read the definitions? And strength. And now is the kingdom of God to you. Not when He comes back. Now. Because He's talking about when Jesus was born. That happened then. So it's for us now. And at that time, by the way, when was the accuser cast down? Long time ago. When he fell. Now, this isn't Revelation John's talking about, and he saw it. The reason I want you to understand this is he saw history too. He saw a vision of what we would call the body of Christ. And he saw what affected the body of Christ from before time till after time. This is becoming very clear to me as I study. He saw Satan fall, which happened basically at the foundations of the earth. When he tried to exalt himself above God. That's what he tried to do. We talk about being equal, but that's not what he wanted. He wanted everything to bow down and worship him. John saw this. And at the time, he also saw Jesus. Isn't it amazing? He saw this whole picture. He saw Satan fall. He saw Jesus born. He saw our salvation. He saw the kingdom given to us all at one time. Boom. You can imagine the size of this vision. That's what we're studying right now, the book of Revelation. Revelation of Jesus Christ. Now, let's go back to chapter 8. I wanted to put that in there so that you'd understand I'm not making these things up. He's not just seeing the last day. Unless you talk about the whole earth time being the last day. He's seeing much past that. Okay, Revelation 8:1. Now remember we had already gone through the seals. This is the seventh seal. And when he had opened the seventh seal, there was silence in heaven about the space of a half hour. As we go through these measurement things that we're going for, it's days or years or half hours or whatever, understand they're just as worthless as they can be. They really are. We had to put something in there for a time frame. And as I studied these, they're worthless. We don't know how long this was. It could have been half a second. God can reveal the entire eternity in half a second. So we don't know what this means. He just knows there was a time when there was a silence. By the way, whatever, what happens on the seventh always? Rest. Okay? The seventh seal is the rest, is the peace that we're going to enter into. The final one. When he had opened the seventh seal, there was silence in heaven. I wrote down here, when we finally enter into the full covenant of God, we will enter into the peace and rest, our seventh day. Remember that God created His earth in 6 days. And what happened on the seventh? He rested and looked back and said, I did good. Okay? Then there's a scripture that comes along that says we can enter into His rest. We don't have to wait to eternity to enter into the rest. We can do that now. All right? Right? In fact, it's more than a suggestion. It's a command. It's part of our salvation. In Genesis 2:2, it says, on the seventh day, God ended His work which He had done, and He rested on the seventh day from all of His work which He had done. How many of you are working to please God? How many of you are working for your money? How many of you are working to raise your children? Maybe we should do what God tells us to do, and that's enter into rest. Say, God, I've given it to You. I've crawled up in You. I'm resting with You. Now, You raise the children. That doesn't mean You don't do anything. That just means the responsibility is His. How about your income? Is your income based on what you can do, or is it based on what He can do? Remember I told you about the pilot and the land and what God told me? Would you like for me to work through him to land it, or would you like for me to land it? I'm not going to forget that now, because that's important to me. I can go out. Do you understand that there's a lot of people out making income without God? So that can be done. They just don't enjoy it. And they can't look for a harvest. We have the ability to enter into the rest of God, His seventh seal, and we can say, God, I'll do the work, but You provide the income. I work for You. I don't work for the boss. I work for You. By the way, you'll be a better worker if you'll do that. Okay, verse 2. And I saw the seven angels which stood before God, and to them were given seven trumpets. Verse 3. And another angel came and stood at the altar, having a golden censer. And there was given unto him much incense, that he should offer it with the prayers of all saints upon the golden altar which was before the throne. Now, did y'all get this picture? I'm going to read it again. I'm going to read the NIV now. Another angel who had a golden censer came and stood at the altar. He was given much incense to offer with the prayers of all the saints on the golden altar before the throne. What was his job? What was this one guy's total job? As we study a little further, we're going to see the incense is also referred to as smoke. So it's there's a purifying process here of a fragrance and smoke. Well, there to see what it says? It says to mix with the prayers of the saints. Here's the picture I got when I read this. Sometimes our prayers stink. That's what I read when I read this. Sometimes our prayers stink. You ever pray out of order? You don't know it at the time, but you know it later. You look back and say, man, that was a dumb prayer. Yeah. See, God never said our prayers have to be great. He just said pray without ceasing. This is very encouraging to me, by the way. That means pretty prayers are not what counts. They're made pretty when they go to the altar. All right, one more time. Another angel who had a golden censer. That's a golden bucket. All right, it's a golden container. And there was given unto him much incense that he should offer. You got that? That's his job. He should offer. He should offer, and by the way, in your King James, the word it was added for clarity, so it's not supposed to be there. So here's the way it should read, that he should offer with prayers. He mixes it with prayer. If you want me to, I'll look at the definition. He should offer means to give, to mix it with, amid. All right? Should put it with the prayers of all saints upon the altar which was before the throne. Now, let me tell you what I wrote here. This was to purify and make a sweet smell to God the prayers and worship of all saints. God loves the smell or sense. Not sense of prayer, worship, praise, and the word. They're all the same. Do you understand that? Well, let me make sure you do. Do you understand we're not praying correctly unless we're praying the word? That we're not praising correctly unless we're praising the word? All right? We're not worshiping unless we're doing that. We're not prophesying unless we're using the word. They are all the same. The word censor comes from, by the way, you'll like this. You ever heard the term Urim and Thummim? You know what I'm talking about? Do you know what I'm talking about? It's a very mysterious thing that happened a couple of places in the Bible where this breastplate that this guy was wearing had jewels in it. And when they wanted an answer from God, they kind of looked in these jewels. That's kind of the way I say it. And they get an answer out of it. Isn't that? Am I right, Dad? Isn't that kind of a good description of it? Kind of a sparkle or a light or something came out of that. They got an answer. It was kind of like their description of the Holy Spirit in action in the Old Testament. That's the way I would describe it, a precious jewel. They looked in and they got the answer. Well, the reason I'm saying that is because the word censor comes, thummim. That's where it comes from. A precious stone. A golden censer and a precious stone are nearly the same word in this thing. And our answers come out of that golden censer. You'll see. Well, let me just, I can refer back to it. Let's go to the next verse. Verse 4. And the smoke of the incense, which came, which is not supposed to be in there, and the smoke of the incense with the prayers of the saints ascended up before God out of the angel's hands. Are the censer. Are the thummim. Let me give you the definition of thummim. The word Urim and Thummim means lights and perfections. That's what it means. The answers come with light and perfection. We, in our feeble way, worship, praise, speak the word. It's mixed with incense, smoke, and fire from the altar, and they become perfect. They become full of light and perfect. And then they come back to earth. Come on, y'all should start getting chill bumps right about now. The purifying incense and smoke mixed with the calls, our prayers, and worship to God. This made them correct and safe. They were before God in His face always by His design. By the way, I don't want to just say we throw them in His face. By His design, they're in His face 24 hours a day. Do you know that? That's what the Bible says. Verse 5, and the angel took the censer, here it is, and filled it with fire of the altar and cast it into the earth. And there were voices and thunderings and lightnings and an earthquake. Y'all better listen to this now. See, we did the easy part. You got that? We just prayed or worshiped or spoke the word. There's an angel or a mass of angels. We don't care how it works. We just know that it works. Their whole job is to take those stumbling, bumbling things that we do, say, and think, and mix it with incense that comes out of the bucket, yeah, the censer. And then the angel is to purify and mix it with fire from the altar and throw it back to the earth. Which causes what? Which causes something to happen. Might even cause the Broncos to lose. The others won. Did it cause a little thundering? Well, let's think about thunder and lightning. Do you remember the earth was without form and void? What did God do? He spoke. And the world heaved. You talk about thundering and lightning. God got upset one time when the world wouldn't listen to Him and started getting to be a bunch of perverts. And it thundered and it lightning, and it earthquaked and the earth was purified. And Jesus came. I'm just giving you a few examples that you can latch on to because you remember. They tried to crucify Jesus and the earth shook. And when it got through shaking, they put Him in the ground and the earth shook. And the stone rolled away. Paul prayed one time and the earth shook and the stone rolled away. The gates flung open. You remember? What happened in the upper room? When they got together and prayed in one accord. 3,000 in one day were added. Are you getting the idea of what happens when people get serious about prayer? Then the angel's got seriously something to work with. And he can cause some serious lightning and thunder. Earth shakes. This is not a little toy that we've got. This is a responsibility we have. He has no ammunition unless we give him some. Right? So the more ammunition you give, the more things will shake in your life. Or someone else's, depends on where you're praying. Right? And see, we don't have to do the pretty prayers. The pretty comes with a pretty heart. The pretty prayers come with a pretty heart. They're not learned. I've heard some of the prettiest prayers read I've ever heard, and they made me ill. You want to make me sick, you read a prayer. I won't even close my eyes. I'll just irk. That's all I'll do. Now, maybe that's wrong. If it's wrong, I'm wrong, and God will change me. But I want to hear at the time what's coming out of your heart, because that's what God wants to hear. You know, if He wanted us to write them, He'd have fixed the mail slot. One of those things, you know, that just goes to heaven. Here, slap it in. And He pulls it out and He reads it, and then the Scripture would be different. And the angel took the censer and filled it with fire of the altar and cast it into the earth. Cast it into the earth. He didn't just lightly drop it. And there were voices. You remember what I told you in the Revelation, what voices mean? It doesn't just mean what you're hearing from me. It's a language. There's a language along with a voice. It's a capsule. There's a way to speak. Things change. That's all I'm telling you. There's things, their ears are spoken into, their hearts are spoken into. Things change. It doesn't just come with a little voice. There were voices and thunderings and lightnings and an earthquake. The censer that was filled with incense and prayers was purified with God's fire, then sent back to earth as answered prayers. Answered prayers are what shakes the earth. These prayers and praises caused great things to happen. And the seven, this is verse 6, and the seven angels which had the seven trumpets prepared themselves to sound. Now understand there's a little jumping around here, but look at this statement. I want to ask you, the last time you prayed, when did you start walking around the cabinet? When did you prepare yourself for the sound? This is called faith without works. If I ask God for something, I start seeing the something because I know the preparation for the sound is already happening. The seven angels, which had the seven trumpets, prepared themselves to sound. Now I want to start here. I call this the first judgment. You can call it the first plague. You can call it anything you want. But just keep in mind that you're going to see a lot of the plague in what we read now. The plagues that were passed. And the judgments to come. Verse 7. The first angel... By the way, the judgments that we talk about here, we always talk about... We got to get a negative connotation when you hear the word judgment. But with God and His people, there is no such thing as a negative connotation. God's judgments for us are pure and righteous and healthy, and they're prosperous and they're healing. But for the world, it doesn't work that way. So keep that in mind as we read these things. The first angel sounded, and there followed hail and fire mingled with blood. And they were cast upon the earth, and the third part of trees were burned up, and all grass, all green grass was burned up. Now, I'm going to tell you what I see here. If we're going to read something that's prophetic, let's look at it prophetically. I see here that God got mad just like He did at Noah's day, and maybe this is this time. I don't know. He may have seen the time of Noah. But all false covering and provisions were removed. Do you understand that right now the world is full of just tremendous falseness about... Guys will go work their keisters off. They won't pray one week, but they'll come to church on Sunday and say, God helped me do this. That's their praise of God. God helped me do this. He had nothing to do with it. He wasn't asked, talked to, or considered the whole time. All false coverings and false provisions happened here in verse 7. God wants us, the world, us, everybody concerned, to depend totally upon Him. How do I know that? I can read it right here. It says so. By the way, when it says one third, don't take that real literal, because if you add up the thirds, they don't add up in this. It just doesn't happen. So you got to remember, John saw what he saw, and he put it on paper the best he knew how. Let's don't say he was wrong. Let's just say he missed it a little bit, because there is not a third, third, and thirds here. We like things mathematical. He was using something that was trying to paint a picture. There was a lot of damage done. Okay. Grass here means vegetation. It means all forms of vegetation. Everything that produced food and greenery. The second judgment. The second angel sounded, and as it were a great mountain burning with fire was cast into the sea, and the third part of the sea became blood. Well, all right. You know, why don't we tie words together like we really say them? How many of y'all have ever had a mountain in your life? Tell me you haven't said that before or thought about it. There's a mountain in my life. A mountain is a high place. It's an exalted place. It's a place that's. I know we don't like to say this, but it's become bigger than God. When we talk about a problem more than we talk about God, the problem is taking the place over God. Right? So it's a high, exalted place. This is a judgment that he was seeing, that all of the high places are thrown down. I can tell you prophetically, I've already seen some of that I've had some visions in my life about that, how it's going to happen. I can tell you where I think it's going to start. I think it's going to start in the pastorate. I think you're going to see some big, big, big things hit the oceans, hit this purifying salt. You're already seeing it a little bit, but you're going to see some more. Anyway, these mountains that have exalted themselves in the face of the earth are cast into the sea. Purged by water baptism, by the way. Many, many creatures died. Many creatures died. Verse 9, and the third part of the creatures which were in the sea and had life died, and the third part of the ships were destroyed. Now, I'm sure there's a physical explanation of this also. I'm trying to do a little bit more what I think is scripturally prophetic. Now, there are some people that are saying we're going to have this meteorite hit the ocean and kill a bunch. Well, if it happens, it happens. I mean, if that's what this means, so be it. I want you to understand it's not going to affect us. I want you to keep looking for that in the Scripture, and I'll keep showing it to you. Rebellion destroys life, by the way. Anytime God has to cast down or put down rebellion, it's going to destroy life. The only sacred life that God... the only thing that God calls sacred is human life. The animals that were destroyed, by the way, don't get to be an animal lover. God put them there for our dominion. That's to eat, to work, to do whatever we want them to do. I'll just shut up. By the way, if you love an animal as much or more than a human, that's called perverted love in the Bible. Get healed. Get over it. And the third angel sounded, and there fell a great star from heaven, burning as it were a lamp, and it fell upon the third part of the rivers and upon the fountains of waters. Now, the reason I think this is more scripturally or spiritually speaking is because first it talks about what some people call a meteorite hitting the ocean, and now it's talking about a meteorite or something on fire hitting fresh water. How do you hit fresh water? Well, look back in time and you'll understand. The fountains of the deep opened up. There is a source of fresh water, which, by the way, is the source of salt water. It's kind of strange here that salt water was attacked first, but fresh water is the source of salt water. And there are fountains of the deep that give us fresh water. God provided that. Here is a great star. A star is... all through this is we might call an asteroid again. Aster is what it's called. It's usually explained as a group of stars, but whatever. Burning as it were a lamp, and it fell upon a third part of the rivers. Rivers means drinkable running water. and upon the fountains of waters, which means the source or supply of the rain. Those two words together mean the source or supply of rain or showers. All right? Now, once again, you can say this is something that is going to come, or you can say something that's already happened, like in Noah's day. Or you can say it's both. One is physical and one is spiritual. The source of cleansing, the source of purity, the source of refreshing is going to dry up. Verse 11. And the name of the star... See, here's what's strange. If you think this is an asteroid going to do this, why does it have a name? The name of the star is called Wormwood, which translates into bitterness, waste, injustice, and calamity. That's what that word means. Wormwood. I can't even... Absinthos. It's a bitter, bitter taste. But it translates bitterness, waste, injustice, and calamity is going to dry up the freshness, the fountains on this earth. Now, I would... All right, that's what I was just going to say. That's exactly what I was going to say. If you think that it's in the future, we're in that right now. It could have happened in Noah's time, this very thing. But I'm telling you, we're sitting in it right now. The Spirit of God is quenched at this moment. Coming back, boy, you can feel Him coming back. But I'm telling you, as far as bitterness and waste and injustice and calamity, we're in the middle of it just big as daylight. I mean, we're dying from the inside out. We're not, but I mean the world is. You can see it happening. The name of the star's wood and the third part of the waters became wormwood, or bitter. And many men died of the waters because they were made bitter. By the way, what happened to one of the plagues? Waters turned to blood, like we talked about two scriptures ago. Rivers turned to blood, this one. They couldn't drink it. So I think he's seeing more than one direction. The proclamation of this judgment was against bitterness and calamity, and it killed many people. Do you understand that some of this is deliverance for God's people in the form of miracles, and some of it is judgment against bitterness, calamity, and all of these things? Right? Do you think God's pleased with bitterness and injustice? No. So the judgment would be against that, right? See, the reason I don't like it to get hot in here is y'all get sleepy. That's the reason I'd rather it be cold. You know, y'all are all starting to sag off on me now. I'm giving you some good stuff out of this. I'll tell you what they used to do in the military. Say, you get sleepy, you get up and walk around the back of the room. Of course, they had a reason, because they'd whack you. That's the reason they did it. All right. Yes, sir. Yeah. It happens every 9 years or whatever. But it's getting worse and worse and worse. And it's poisons like a lot of that. The shellfish, the crabs. It takes away the oxygen out of the water, takes the freshness out of the water, and kills the animals. It's called red tide. Yeah. We have it a lot in Corpus. Actually, we never did have it before. If you want to think things follow the Bible, they do. Why don't you go tell Bill where we're going to go? Because he's going to... Okay. Now it's beginning to happen. This year they had a big one. Man, I mean, there was dead fish laying everywhere. Stunk. And it's not just in Corpus. It's happening all over.
On the sidelines of the vocal, the word Chernobyl in Ukraine means wormwood.
Wormwood? Chernobyl means wormwood? How about that? A lot of things happen according to the Scripture, and people don't even know about it. All right, the fourth judgment. And by the way, this can also be a plague if you'll tie them together. And the fourth angel sounded, and a third part of the sun was smitten, and a third part of the moon, and a third part of the stars. So as the third part of them was darkened, and the day shone not for a third part of it, and the night likewise. This is very, very interesting. By the way, they've got a place to go, so don't let them bother you. They know what they're doing. They're not mad. Okay.
They know all this stuff, huh?
Well, they're going to minister somewhere else. If you'll remember that in the plague, against the when it came against the Egyptian people, you could, if you'd like to picture the Egyptians, sorry, y'all get to be the Egyptians today. The Egyptians on one side and the people of God on the other. They had a plague of darkness. Do you remember that? Mark changed sides. Y'all remember the plague of darkness? Okay. What happened was, is that these people over here, they couldn't even find the matches and the candles. It was so dark. These people over here were operating in light. But they were in such darkness, they couldn't see the light. Even though they were just pretty close in some cases. Read it. It's in there. So God has special provisions in His judgments. His judgment is good for these. It's not good for these. That's the way His judgments work. Basically, He just kind of withdraws Himself and He just concentrates over here. That's what causes darkness, right? Remember, we walk in safety because of God's presence. If His presence leaves, we're no longer safe. We walk in salvation. That's another way to say it. If we leave the salvation or He turns somewhere else like He does in the judgment, well, we're in serious trouble. Read those about the plagues and you'll see this. You'll see the impact. Darkness will never affect the people of light. They're going to have their light no matter what because their light is Jesus. That's where they reside. In a place where there's never any darkness. That's in the middle of the night. There's never darkness. Verse 13, and I beheld an angel flying through the midst of heaven, saying with a loud voice, woe, woe, woe to the inhabitants of the earth by reason of the other voices of the trumpet of the three angels which are not yet sound. I mean, this is scary right here. This is strange. Let me read you the NIV because it's a whole lot more accurate in its translation. As I watched, I heard an eagle. For some reason, they took the word eagle and wrote angel in the King James. I don't know why, but it doesn't mean angel, it means an eagle. There was an eagle that was flying in midair, calling out in a loud voice, woe, woe, woe to the inhabitants of the earth because of the trumpet blast about to be sounded by the other three angels. The inhabitants are those that are housed permanently and residing in the earth. That doesn't mean those that are only here temporarily. Now, do you understand? If we've got it down the middle, these are the temporary residents. These are the permanent residents. Y'all have to sit on the other side next time.
How are you doing everything back?
Okay.
Another thought on that. Angel, eagle, or of course an angel, but King James angel. There's a Christian satellite. It's called Angel 1. Up there.
Dominion angel.
Yeah, and it's,
y'all been hearing about that?
You know,
24 hours a day.
To the world.
Dishnet.
They call it the sky angel.
Call it the sky angel. Dominion sky angel. Is that the one you're talking about?
Well, this is years ago.
Well, they've got one now. Just came out. Well, now there's one out now. They're going to, by the way, they're going to be beaming 24 hours a day. Homeschool. They're going to take it by next year. They already got it in effect. By next year, it's going to be all the way from early kindergarten till whenever. There's going to be preaching. There's going to be worship. There's going to be 24 hours a day. Family networks. It comes in on the 18-inch dish net. You'd have to get that. You know, the little satellite. But anyway, if you need information, you get a hold of us because I've got the material now. So that you won't just call me for nothing. It costs $200 minimum just to get on the Dominion Angel, and then you have to buy the satellite, which would be another at least $200.
But this is for the Christians.
Mm-hmm. Actually, not that much, but...
It was set up 15 years ago.
Mm-hmm. But you know why this is much better now? Do you understand why the little satellite dish is better than the big satellite dish? Called the Trinity. Triangulation. We found out that you ever heard of GPS? Global positioning satellites? You know what that is? That's minimum three satellites doing what they used to do for one. That's why the little one is better, because you're actually beaming, you're getting beams from three satellites, the Trinity. And you can't get out of that one. If you just got one up there somewhere, you're going to get the signal. The other one is one satellite to one receiver and a little bit of misalignment and you missed. Or you got static. This Dominion satellite, or Sky Angel that they're talking about now, it's the new triangulation. You can have the little bitty dish somewhere on your roof and you receive all the time. And that's just the tip of the iceberg that's going to happen. And you'll see that. You see it some in here. Anyway. By the way, I'm not kidding you. Angel is totally different in this. It means eagle. And the inhabitants are the ones... It even mentions divine power. The inhabitants of the earth are the ones that receive their power from the earth. Mother Earth, if you like that one. Be careful. My mother is not the earth. I have dominion of this earth, and I don't have dominion of my mother. Okay? I walk on this earth. I don't walk on her. Well, if they look up the word worship, it means to kiss. So they're going around kissing dirt all the time. That's really great. Worshiping Mother Earth. Maybe that's why their mind is so dirty. Yeah. Yeah. But I'll take your word for it if you want to try them. I don't. I want to hit a couple more scriptures and we'll probably come back and review them next time, but we got a late start today. Verse 2, and he opened. Now listen, verse 1, we saw. Oh, we didn't even do that. I was thinking we already read that. I don't know. I'm going to give you a little preview of next week, okay? The fifth judgment. The fifth angel sounded and I saw a star fall from heaven. Now this is a little repetition because we just saw a star from heaven that ruined the sea and the fresh water. Same star, by the way. I saw a star from heaven fall from heaven unto the earth, and to him was given the key of the bottomless pit. Who gave Satan the key to the bottomless pit? Man did. Adam did. That's who did it. So you see where he's seen. When Satan got the key to anything, man gave it to him. Okay. Verse 2, and he opened the bottomless pit, and there arose, you understand there was no hell until Adam said so. That's what I'm trying to say. No, there was no death and there was no destruction until Adam chose to follow the father of death and destruction into the bottomless pit, the abyss, the prison. He opened the bottomless pit, and there rose a smoke out of the pit, as the smoke of a great furnace, and the sun of the air were darkened by reason of the smoke of the pit. And there came out of the smoke locusts upon the earth, and unto them was given power, as the scorpions of the earth to have power. This is getting goofy, isn't it? And now listen, and it was commanded them that they should not hurt the grass of the earth, neither any green thing, neither any tree. Who are the trees? The ones that are the tree of righteousness, right? They were given commands. Even though they were loosed and told that they could hurt, they were given commands not to hurt any tree. Come on now.
That means that we will still be here.
But we can't be hurt. These locusts and scorpions, which, by the way, have already been part of the plague before. If we see them again, which I'm not saying we're not, I'm saying the same thing applies. They have been given a command that they are not to hurt any tree, but only, listen to this, those men which have not the seal of God in their foreheads. Now, if you've never heard out of the Bible, which I know you have, because I've told you about two other times, here's another one. If you think that we're going to be tortured with everybody else, what does that say? I didn't make it up. I didn't make it up. There it is. If you have the seal of God on your forehead, they have a command not to harm you. Now, in the plagues, it's still applied. God would say, go give them an option, but they won't listen. And when the plague would come, or the judgment would come against the people of Egypt, that's those people that would not serve God, it never touched the people with the sign on their forehead. The sign of God on their forehead. That's right. Fire was there, but all they did was get a release. The ropes were burned off, and they got a promotion for it. Oh, yeah. Yeah. That plane crash you're talking about, right? Not a hair singed. Now, of course, that just applies to him because he was something special, right? Now, this is something. This is something Satan would say. I'm just trying to be the devil right now. You know, well, he prayed and he tithed a lot more and he'd given a lot more. He attended a church a whole lot more. You know, and he went to a church college. He's probably a preacher. That's why it worked with him. Come on, this is what the devil would tell you.
In fact, this is quite the opposite. He was not the strong Christian, but his mother prayed with him just before he left. And when he was walking in his fire, he said that his mother's prayer came back to walk through the fire, not the devil. He was here in earth.
And the earth was shaken, but it didn't bother him, right?
Yeah, not
kind of like those prayers coming back to earth answered. Now, what's the seal of God on your forehead? Well, I mean, that's what I've always said because everybody always said 666. I had to come back to something. But it is. So if seven is the peace and the joy and all that, it is. It is. First place, I don't believe in 666. I think that's a misinterpretation. I think there's a sign. I definitely think there's going to be something that people take. I'm not against that. I just think that we may be too busy looking for 666. We probably better stop that. We better make sure every morning in the mirror we're looking for 777. That's all I'm saying. We better look every day in the mirror. God's Word's called a mirror. That we are checking to see if we have a seal of God on us. What is that? First, it's the Word of God flowing right out of the slit in your face. That's what the mouth is called in the Greek here. It's the slit in your face. You better make sure. I'm tickled about that, so I use it. You better make sure that the Word of God is coming out of that hole. It better not be this abyss that smoke that's killing people comes out of. I mean, it comes out. We have that ability too, you understand? Out of this cannot flow blessings and curses. Well, unless we decide to, and then it won't last long. It'll just turn to curses, I promise you. The seal of God. By the way, from verse 4, we are the good of the earth. We are that provides food and covering. We are not to be harmed unless we give permission. Here's the loophole. Everybody's looking for the loophole. The loophole that the devil has is your permission. Not someone else's permission and not some authority he's been given. You just saw that he's been commanded not to harm anybody with the seal of God. Harm. Not even harm. Anybody with the seal of God on their forehead. He's been given that command. And he don't talk back to God, unlike sometimes us. He don't talk back. He gets his noggin thumped hard if he talks back to God. He knows it. He's already been bounced off the earth a couple of times. Yeah. That's why he's red in the face all the time, right? Listen, the last time he talked back to God, he hit the earth. And it hurt. So he won't do it again. But we sometimes give him the permission to talk too much. We don't thump him against the earth like we should. So if we walk in harm's way, it's by our permission, not by God's. By the way, we were given authority. to speak to him and say the same thing God says, or we can say what we say. We better learn to say what God says. I want to stop right there because of the time frame. I don't want to stop right there. But because this is, to me, this is exciting stuff right here. Especially when you find scriptures that says that he was commanded. It doesn't say he, it says they were told not to harm. So it's not just him, but everything he has to do with was told not to. Oh, man. That's right. So, when the devil comes to me and says, your church is shrinking, would that be harmful? That's harmful to me. That's harmful to those that might be leaving. So, I know where it came from, right? And I know that he may threaten, but he can't do.
Actually, it's not. It's like everything else in the world. It's 10 times better than Gideon. He got 10 for 2. As many as Gideon ended up with.
Okay. If the devil would come and say, I can take your husband, or I can take your wife, or I can take your life. What does this say? See, the devil has come to me a lot of times and told me that he was going to kill me. Came to you the other night and told you that. Well, this says he can't. Now, whose report are you going to believe? Right? We make a determination that we're not going to owe anything, any man, anything but love. So as long as I'm not making it up on my own, I'm hanging with good company. I am just speaking what somebody else has already spoken about me. That's all I'm doing. That's all I'm commanded to do, right? I'm not commanded to be so smart that I make up such pretty language that I out-talk the devil. That's what we just read here. All I've got to do is pray the word. God, this is what you said. You said I'm redeemed. You said I'm healed. You said I'm delivered. I say the same thing. When that happens, our thought processes, our hearts, they go up and they're purified and back to earth. Now we can accomplish, or the prayers are being accomplished. And it really works. We know it works because there's the command. You can't harm them. Man, y'all got to get this down. If somebody's threatening y'all, and he is all the time. It just said that he's accuser of the brethren 24 hours a day. So you know you're being threatened. If a guy walks up with an empty gun and points it, you know it's empty. And he points it at you, you laugh. We as Christians have been doing just the opposite. We've been running and hiding because he's pointing an empty gun. He roared, but no teeth. He had a gun with no bullets. It's the same thing.
I heard you've been laughing at loaded guns.
Well, that's possible too. But it doesn't make any difference. All I'm telling you is that I know who I am and I know who he's not. Okay? And we got the promise that he's going to accuse or threaten. But you see, I got a better promise. I hope we don't have to say this forever, but I think we will. I think we're going to have to encourage each other in this all the time. I didn't make it up. I've got a promise from the day I'm born until revelation that he can't hurt me. You know what? There is no loophole in this. Larry, for those that have been trying to confuse us, there's no loophole in this. It goes all the way, you'll see, it goes all the way until we're seated at the right hand of the Father. The command is the same. There is no loophole. Even, there's a mention in here about 3.5 years. But we're going to study that. We're going to see what that means. There's no 3.5 years. There's no half of the tribulation that we're going to have to worry that God's Word doesn't work during that 3.5 years. Unless we can analyze the fact that we missed the first boat. We asked for it. That's what I'm trying to tell you. We asked for it. We didn't keep the seal of God. Or we didn't have the seal of God. We were too stubborn to take it. And we found out it's the only game in town. Then we got to work our way through it. Anybody here wants that? Well, I don't either. We need to make sure that some people out there understand that. Y'all invite people. spit in the devil's face, and invite someone to hear the truth. Hey, by the way, anybody here think I'm warping the truth any? If you do, I'm interested in your opinion. Do you think I'm sticking as close as humanly can be to the truth? Then don't be afraid to invite people to hear the truth. Because you see, I want everybody here to speak the truth. Right? I learned to speak because I heard someone else speak. That's the way humans are. That's how I learned it. My mom and dad spoke all the time, and I learned to speak the way they spoke. Right? The teachers thought they had something to do with it. They really didn't. I learned how to talk long before I got to them. They just tried to polish it up a little bit, and they didn't. God did, but they didn't. Praise God. Let's bow our heads and seal this, okay? Father, you gave us a promise that if we prayed, it wouldn't just ricochet. It would go straight to the altar, and it'd be purified and sent back to the earth. So we're going to operate on that promise right now, and we're going to speak over each other, pray for each other, a blessing, wisdom, understanding, health, prosperity in their mind, emotions, will, marriage, and all in work and everything. We speak that on this church in its growth process. We speak it on each other. We speak it on the world around us, Lord. Don't let us be some little old polished brass statues hiding inside of a building. God, use us. We do not have the ability to go out and minister, but you do through us. So we pray that you will use each and every one of us today, tomorrow, the rest of our lives, to minister the life of the living God and the Word of the living God to the lost and dying people. We don't want to be a dead corpse, hollow, speaking one thing and not doing anything about it. Use us, Lord. We turn our lives and our futures over to you. Now let them come back as thunder and lightning as we shake this earth. We have this as a promise, Lord. We now speak the promise. We look for the harvest. We love you, Lord. Let your word not return void, and let it not be stolen. Give a hunger in those that weren't here to be here next time. We love you, Lord. We love you, Lord. Protect these tapes. Let them go out, but for the kingdom of God. God, you know what that man asked me to do about writing, and I don't have the ability. But God, you do. So I turn this mind and this hand over to you, and I tell you that you say write and I'll write. And let it reach the city. That's what you told me to do a long time ago. And I join with the prayer of these people that you will give me the ability and the desire and the hunger and thirst to sit down and write those words that you'd have this city to read, Lord. And I look for the harvest now. I see the harvest now, and I thank you in advance that it's done. God, we heard this morning that the attack of health has been on Bill and Linda Franz. We speak health in their bodies. We send health to their home. We do it in Jesus' name, and we do it for your honor and for your glory, Lord. Touch them and let them be healed. And any other sickness and disease that's attacked this family, we curse it at its roots. It will not become a fruitful tree or a lingering tree, but it will wither and die, and we will know the results tomorrow. We do it in Jesus' name. We love you, Lord. We thank you for your word. We crown you King of kings and Lord of lords. You speak the command, we obey. We thank you, Lord. We love you. And everybody that agrees with this prayer, then we'll acknowledge by saying amen. Prayer of agreement. Hallelujah. Y'all be dismissed. Praise the Lord.